Have you ever read Deuteronomy 6? I mean, yeah, 6, 4, and 5. It is a central verse of Scripture in the Old Testament, kind of like John 3:16 for us is in the New Testament. And as soon as I say it, you'll say, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Have you ever wondered why God would call a guy like Saul of Tarsus to be the premier leader of the early Christian church and to be the man who would do the most to form the Christian faith? Have you ever wondered why God called a guy like Saul? Well, you should wonder that. It's a very interesting question. If you go back in your Bible and you read Acts 9, go back in the book of Acts and read the 9th chapter, you read about a man who is feverishly opposed to the Christians. He is ferociously persecuting everybody who says that he or she is a follower of Jesus. He is very adamant about killing every Christian that he can find. That's Saul. Now, I imagine that Jesus was looking down on what Saul was doing, and he said to himself, kind of muttered to himself, he said, "You know, I think I'll call this man to tell the world about me." And I imagine that the angels looked at Jesus and said, "What? Are you kidding?" You know, not even the angels would ask the Son of God if he was crazy, but that probably didn't stop them from wondering, "What? Are you kidding? Call Saul? Excuse us, Lord, but why would you want to call a fire-breathing Christian, anti-Christian radical like that? I mean, he's killing your people. Why don't you just squash him like a bug, get him out of your way, and have done with him?" And Jesus replied to them and said, "I know, I know." Then he stroked the side of his face and he said, "You know, I can really use this guy. He's got an extraordinary amount of something that will be very useful to me." And they said, "What's that?" And he said, "Passion. This guy is a bulldog in anything and everything he does. He just never lets up. This boy has passion." And they said, "Okay, great. How are you going to harness that passion to be at work for you?" And Jesus said, "Watch this." And he jumped down right in front of Saul as he was going down the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians there. He jumped out in front of him with such a bright light that it blinded him. He jumped out with such a powerful force that it knocked Saul right to the ground. And then he shouted at the top of his lungs and said, "Saul! Saul! Why are you persecuting me, man?" And Saul just must have been trembling by this time when he says, "Whoa, whoa, who are you, sir?" And Jesus answered very clearly and said, "I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. Now get up and go to the city, and you're going to be told there what you're to do for me." Wow. Paul was so rattled, Paul was so shook up, he was now blind as a bat, and the Bible says he couldn't eat anything, he couldn't even drink anything for 3 days. Jesus came onto him that strong. It took a little while to fill Paul in, but he listened to Ananias, who he'd been sent to, and other Christian leaders, and he came to a dramatic change in his life, an understanding that this Jesus that he had been persecuting is in fact the Messiah. And boy, did he devote himself to that message the rest of his life. Saul became convinced that Jesus is God's way of reaching and saving the world. You read on in the book of Acts and you read about this change. And you read the letters that Saul wrote over the next decades. And you find a man that is so changed in his mind and so changed in his heart that he changed his name from Saul to Paul. In everything that Paul wrote, you see a man of passion. Read his letters. Look for the passion. It is underlying there in everything he is saying and doing. It is so powerful because Paul never did things halfway. And he said so, and he talked about it. He gave himself completely to it. When he was a Jew promoting Judaism, he was just a bulldozer. He would bulldoze anything and everyone that got in his way. Now, when he's a Jew promoting Christianity, he is in it lock, stock, and barrel. More than 100%. All of his feelings, all of his thoughts, all of his energy, all of his enthusiasm is devoted to the cause. That's Paul, a man of passion. He didn't care about anything else, and he considered it all rubbish, he said in the Philippian letters. Everything is rubbish compared to knowing Jesus as my Savior and serving Him. What characteristic do you think carried Paul through the fierce opposition that he faced, the beatings that he suffered, the ridicule that was thrown his way? What do you think carried him through the stonings? People tried to stone him to death. What do you think carried him through the shipwrecks? What do you think carried through the prison sentences in the awful prisons that he was thrown into? It was passion, baby. Passion! That carried Paul through. And guess what? God wants you to have such passion when it comes to loving and serving Him. He wants the same passion at work in your life as was at work in the Apostle Paul. Do you have such passion? Good, I'm glad you do. Or is this passion something that you need to develop in your Christian life during 2009? Passion. Do you have it? You need it. You know, most everybody is usually passionate about something, aren't they? And not everybody is passionate about the same thing. So we're not going to be passionate in the same way that the Apostle Paul was, but we can still be passionate about Jesus and serving Him in our own way and our own ways. What's your passion? Some people are passionate about cleanliness and order. They like things clean and everything in its place. Other people are passionate about their families. Some people are passionate about their pets. Some passionately love a certain sport or a certain sports team. You've seen those folks. Others are passionate about their work or their profession. Music is a passion for others. Your passion might be politics or knowledge or even pleasure. But most everybody is passionate about something. Are you passionate about serving Jesus? Well, you should be. And you would be if you understand who Jesus is and what He's done and what He's doing every day for you and me and everybody in this whole wide world. You would be passionate. You see, Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 is the great Shema of the faith. In the Old Testament, but it's ours too. What does it say? You shall love the Lord your God. That's passion. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. How much? All. Sounds like a great definition of passion right there in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Passion is the power behind any great cause or accomplishment. It makes a man devote countless, countless hours of practice, practice, practice to become Tiger Woods, the greatest golfer that there is today, or maybe who has ever been. It's passion that causes a man to eat and live and breathe competitive swimming, to become an 8 gold medal champion like Michael Phelps became. What would cause a man to do that? Maybe there are other people in the world with more ability than him, but he had the passion to do it and to get it done. Malcolm Gladwell has a book out now, and the book is about what makes people great, what's the common denominator in people who accomplish things. And he studied it very carefully, and he said, what is it? You know, he found out it wasn't natural ability. It's not super talent. It's not just natural giftedness, but you know what it is? Passion. Being devoted to a cause and willing to give it everything you got in order to achieve 100% on whatever the goal might be, whether it's making money in business, whether it's climbing to the top of Mount Everest, whether it's being a successful entertainer, whether it's doing a certain type of social work, whatever it might be, it's passion, baby. Passion. We admire people of passion, don't we? People who have passion are interesting. They are engaging. They are exciting. We admire ourselves when we live passionately, don't we? Yeah. It's a lot more fun to get up in the morning to live your passion than it is to slide out of bed with no goals, no interests, nothing that you're really going to find all that engaging today. Biggest difference in the world to live with passion. Howard Thurman put it this way. He said, ask not what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive. Then go do it, because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Passion gets associated with a lot of things, and we usually think of it as an intense love between a man and a woman. That's how it's commonly used. Hey, but that's not it. Passion is that power, that dynamism, that enthusiasm that drives us to do what we feel led to do. It's much, much deeper than that. And up until the moment that he was knocked down on the Damascus Road, this Saul of Tarsus was dead to Jesus, wasn't he? But after that day and after that time, he was alive to Jesus. He'd been alive to a whole bunch of stuff that really didn't matter, all the Jewish laws and the requirements and so forth. Now he became alive to what really did matter. And boy, he knew it. When his eyes were open, they were really open. And he lived life with passion. This man was obsessed with telling everybody that he possibly could, whether it was the lowliest peasant or the most powerful ruler of his day and time, Jesus is Lord. It was his passion. And very simply, I ask you today to wake up inside of you the passion that might be dormant. Okay? Wake it up. Quit piddling around with Jesus. Quit serving him half-heartedly. Quit giving him your leftovers instead of making him your appetizer and your main course and your dessert in life. You know, make him your passion. Work with him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength in 2009. Wake up. Come on. Light the fire. Get it going. Find your passion and then let it fly. It's the key to a fulfilling Christian life. I hope this comes through loud and clear. And if so, somebody later on says, well, what did you talk about in church today? You can answer. What? 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 Oh, it's coming. I feel it coming. You just might find it if you look for it, right?